Welcome to Corgi Confident. My name's Alyssa. I am the self-proclaimed Corgi Queen. Let's talk corgis. Hello, Corgi Confident listeners. Hope you guys are ready to start out your week. This is Maslow Monday, where I talk about all things Maslow. And today, we are going to be talking about his pandemic regression. So some of the things that he has regressed on as far as his obedience behaviors go. And so, just to give a little bit of a backstory of what the pandemic was like for me, I was lucky enough to keep my job. If you guys didn't listen to our very, very first episode of this podcast, I am a zookeeper, so I was able to keep my job. I was still leaving the house. You know, I can't be a zookeeper from home. So I was still leaving the house. However, when the pandemic hit in March, there was a lot of layoffs at my zoo, and all I knew when the pandemic hit, maybe mid-March, is that I would have my job through that month. And then April was coming around, and I was told, I got a call, and they said, you have your job for this month. And then that month ended, and I got another call, and they said, you're going to have your job through June, or something like that. And I was like, okay, I have 2 months with my job. And that time was a lot of uncertainty. I constantly had the unemployment tab up and ready to fill out, just in case. The zoo was closed at this point, much like anything, you know, anything and everything at these early pandemic times. The zoo was closed, so we weren't making any money. They had laid off and furloughed a significant amount of people, and I was going month by month, unsure if I was going to be one of those people. So after June, I figured out that I was going to have my job through the summer. I believe it was through September. But they didn't know anything after that. So our zoo has a nonprofit organization that stepped up at this time and hired a bunch of zoological aides, which is what I am known as at that time. They couldn't hire everyone back. They only were able to hire essential staff back, so I wasn't. I essentially had a new job or a new employer, though I was still working at the same zoo. And that deal only lasted through September. That's all that they had budget for. It was through September. And they had graciously stepped up because they knew we couldn't properly take care of the animals without a full staff. Or a fuller staff. We were still short-staffed at that point. So they had graciously stepped in. And so, again, I was told that I had my job at least through the summer. Also, early pandemic time, all my dog sports were canceled. All my dog training classes were canceled. Which may not seem like a big deal to some people, but for me, if you follow me at all on social media or listen to this podcast, I think you would get the gist that I care very much about dog sports. It is a huge hobby of mine, and I really enjoy it. And that was kind of taken away from me at this time. And, I mean, like many other people, I couldn't see my friends. You know, I couldn't hang out with anybody. And it was that scary time of, you know, don't leave your house. Wash your hands. Hand sanitizer was gone. All of that. And so, during that time, like many other people, I didn't really do much. Because I was just kind of living month by month, trying to save money, unsure if I was gonna have a job the following month, or even the following couple months. So I was just too stressed about life to really focus on training my dogs. Relatively too stressed to focus on training my dogs. Now, what do I mean by that? Basically, I did throw all of my energy into training Maslow. That's typically what I do when I'm stressed or I'm upset or I just have a lot going on. I typically just do a training session with Maslow and that calms me down. Or I just go take him for a walk and it makes me feel better. So I did kind of throw all of my energy into him just to help kind of reduce some of my anxieties. I just focused heavily on him, but I was mainly focusing on training him tricks. And at this point, I did teach him like a lot of amazing new tricks. I did teach him a lot of new stuff, and it was a fun time. I still think about like all the amazing stuff I was able to teach him. I also spent a lot of time recording those training sessions, and that was about around the same time that our social media presence also grew, because I was recording these sessions and I ended up posting them. And they ended up being popular. But during this time, I wasn't really focused on obedience training with him. And because of that, a lot of his obedience behaviors weren't as strong as they were pre-pandemic. So once I knew, it was about September, August, I got a call that I was getting essentially, quote-unquote, rehired by the zoo, and I was going to be able to keep my job. And so I was able to relax a little bit more, and that's when I had noticed these regressions, because things were opening up again. We were starting to leave more and go more places and do more things. Around mid to late summer, I'd say, dog sports had started reopening, so we were able to leave and go do things again. But some things that I had noticed he had regressed on during the pandemic, there were four main things. He had regressed on his loose leash walking. He had regressed on his leash reactivity. His focus out of the house. And this one isn't really a regression, but we were also back to using the gentle leader, or the head halter, if you know it by that name. So, for loose leash walking, we had to go back to basics. And I wouldn't say he was awful with loose leash walking. I was walking him early pandemic in the morning before I would go to work. And so he was really good at walking before I had to leave for work. Any other time, however, he wasn't very good at loose leash walking. So he had gotten really good at loose leash walking around my neighborhood at like 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning. But any other time, he wouldn't know how to loose leash walk. So he kind of lost his generalization of loose leash walking. So we had to, again, go back to basics. We would do our normal morning walks, but then I would spend the evening just having a training session with him working on this. So again, back to basics. Step, you get a treat. If I step and the leash is loose, yes and reward. Up that to 2 steps, 3 steps, all of that stuff, increasing that over time. And then again, back to the same when he pulls, you stop technique. And that one is probably the most frustrating technique for him, because he'll be out on the end of the leash, sometimes barking his head off, not understanding why he's not going forward. And so if he really wasn't getting it, then I'd walk backwards. But a lot of the times, you know, our walks wouldn't really be walks. It wouldn't be walks to get exercise at all. It would just be walks purely for training. So at that same time, around that same time is when I got a treadmill for them. So he was still burning energy in other ways. I had also bought him a tunnel. We spent a lot of time just running back and forth through the tunnel because he loves tunnels. So it wasn't that he wasn't getting that energy out. We still found ways to get his energy out, but we just used his walks purely for training now. And by we, I mean Maslow and I, because that's how I refer to us, is as we. So loose leash walking was one of his regressions. The other one that people are probably more interested in hearing is the leash reactivity, which he had some issues with as a teenager. So at around a year old, he did have some issues with leash reactivity. But pre-pandemic, he was mainly over it because of the training I had put into him. And with doing all of his sports and being around other dogs, that gave him more practice to just ignore a dog or ignore dogs there. But, like I mentioned previously, the pandemic kind of took that away. You know, we didn't have dog sports anymore, so we didn't have that practice of just being able to do things around other dogs. So again, we had to take it all the way back to basics. And when he sees a dog in the distance, then he gets a treat. And depending on how distracted he is, I'll just keep jackpotting the treats until the dog is out of distance, out of sight. And by doing that, he associates other dogs with good things, right? And eventually he would look at a dog and then look at me because he knows, you know, there's a dog there, mom, where's my treat? There's a dog there, that means I get a treat. And instead of his first reaction being barking, his reaction is look at mom to get a treat, which is what you want when you're training reactive dogs. And then things were also starting to reopen around this time when I was working on this leash reactivity regression. So we were able to go to pet stores and stand outside with a large distance, of course, and start to practice around dogs again. And sometimes this would just be literally in the parking lot. We wouldn't even go into the store. It would just be in the parking lot. There's a dog, here's a treat. There's a dog, here's a treat. And I would say overall, we are still recovering from a little bit of this leash reactivity for him. He is about 90% there, but there are still some dogs that just kind of rub him the wrong way for whatever reason. So, for the most part, he's pretty much over this, and I would say back to where he was pre-pandemic. But we're still working through this. He wasn't perfect pre-pandemic, so we're kind of back to square one where we started before coronavirus hit. Next thing that I noticed he had regressed on was his ability to focus out of the house. So obviously, because we do a lot of training in the house, his focus here is immensely better than going anywhere else. And so again, with things reopening, I was able to take him to different places and just play the focus game. And so the focus game is I just stand there and I wait for him to look at me. And when he looks at me, yes and reward. Or if you have a clicker, click and reward. And I usually like to have it be more organic like that, where I'm just standing there, silent, until he gives me eye contact. You can try to kind of coax it out of him. And you can do that by making all sorts of different noises. I'll clap my hands, I'll whistle. You can make cat sounds, whale sounds. I avoid saying their name just because you only want to say their name once. And I don't want to sit there being like, Maslow, 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 Maslow. So I avoid using their name just for the possibility that you're going to be saying their name constantly. So that's the focus game. When they look at you, they get a treat. And I would do this multiple times a week if I could, even if it was just like right outside my house, just on the sidewalk. If I could, I would try to take him to Joann's or Home Depot. Joann's is dog friendly. Joann's Crafts is dog friendly. And I find it's pretty quiet. It at least doesn't have other dogs there. So I like going there because not a lot of people know that it's dog friendly. So you don't really find a lot of dogs there. And always check with your local Joann's to see what their policy is on it. The ones by me are fine with it, but people by you might be different. And so I tried to go to Joann's more often than not. I would go to Home Depot a lot, but that one is tougher because a lot more people know that Home Depot is dog friendly. Home Depot is the closest one to me, but most hardware stores are dog friendly. But again, people know that hardware stores are dog friendly, so you tend to see more dogs there. And I, at this point in his training, I avoided pet stores for the focus thing. I used pet stores more for him seeing a dog and getting a treat, and focused on that versus him like having to focus on me at a pet store, because that was just too much to ask of him, because for that we were just working on dogs, and it was a little bit too much to ask of him to constantly looking at me around dogs. With a far distance away, he could do that. But again, I was just working on his reaction to dogs and making sure that he wasn't barking at them. I didn't really care as much about him looking at me. So going to Joann's or hardware stores was more about him looking at me and giving me that eye contact. And again, that's because those two places are just more, are just not as distracting as a pet store. And so the more we worked on this, the better he became. Obviously, that's how training works. And it was like it was all coming back to him. So I'd say the focus out of the house in these two different locations was something that came back to him quicker than some of our other problems. And I can happily say that he now successfully walks through Joanne's, focused on me. We're still working on hardware stores. That one's still kind of tough, but that's because you'll still find dogs there, and that can be kind of tough for him. But majority of the time for hardware stores, he does amazing. He does absolutely amazing. There's the one day every now and again that he has issues, but not every day is going to be a perfect day. And now lastly, again, this one wasn't really a regression necessarily, but we had to go back to using the gentle leader, the head halter. And for the most part, we weren't using this during the pandemic or pre-pandemic. We weren't using it. We were only using it about 90% of the time before the pandemic. But with all the regressions, we were back to using it. And it was just so that he could connect that the gentle leader meant he had to be a good boy and he was quote-unquote working. And it was just an easier thing for him to remember that when he had that on, it's like the memories came rushing back of all the stuff we had worked on previously, and it was quicker for him to connect the dots. Something else that helped us, we got a vest for him that said in training on the side. And so I noticed wearing that, people had respected our bubble a little bit more. And I just want to stress and clarify here that he is not a service dog by any means. I specifically got a vest that said in training. It doesn't say service dog in training, doesn't say therapy dog in training, it just says in training. And we only went to dog-friendly locations. I did not bring him anywhere that wasn't dog-friendly. I did not pretend like he was a service dog in any way. I just added this little in-training vest so people would ignore him more and it wouldn't set him off. And when people would ask, what is he in training for? I would be honest. I'd be like, oh, you know, we've had some regressions. We're just working on our obedience training. And they would respect that. I noticed with using our in-training vest, a lot of people would ask to pet him, which would give me the opportunity to ask for a sit or a down from him before just letting him go up to meet people. And so that was nice to get asked to pet him because we never really got that before. We just got people that just walked up and started petting him. And I started pairing the vest with the gentle leader because I wanted him to understand that when the vest was on, he had to focus and pay attention, with the ultimate goal of no longer needing the gentle leader and the vest kind of replacing the gentle leader as the reminder that he is quote-unquote working, you know, air quotes working, similar to how a service dog would use a vest if you have the vest on, just so that they understand that they're in working mode. They're always in working mode, but again, I was just trying to give him a physical reminder that he had to be a really, really good boy and really, really focus. And when the vest wasn't on, then that was his time to go have fun and do what he wants. Something else that has helped with this, again, we'll use the vest, we'll use the gentle leader. I had mentioned it in a previous episode of using a long line for him when I take him walking. And so some of his walks will be these fun walks where he gets to run and sniff and do what he likes and have more distance. We have a 40-foot long line, he gets 40 feet. And then other walks when he has his gentle leader on or his in-training vest are the walks where you know, these are going to be our training walks, and he has to be more focused. So, overall, he isn't perfect. And I always say this, but I am the first to admit that he is not perfect. But he wasn't perfect before the pandemic and before the regressions either. And we are still working through all these things, and we probably will constantly be working through these things, because dog training never stops. I don't think there's ever going to be a point where I say, okay, we're done. Because dog training never stops. It continues no matter what. I think that's the most exhausting thing to remember, is that dog training never stops. And so we will continue to work on all of these things, the loose leash walking, focus out of the house, the leash reactivity. Those are probably things that we are constantly going to be training for, because I don't want him to lose those skills. You know, we might not be training as heavily as we were in the past. We might just be like narrowing down his skills a little bit more. But it is something that we will constantly be training. And so my lesson for my ending note for this Maslow Monday is, Maslow is not perfect. And again, I am the first to admit that Maslow is not perfect. He is not a perfect dog. But that's the point of this podcast. That's the point of my social media, to show that he's not perfect and to show the things that I'm trying to do to train out those imperfections, train out those behaviors that I don't want. My other takeaway note for everyone listening is that dog training never stops. It doesn't. Continue training your dogs. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for the dogs, I promise. And just a little cliff note here, things that I've learned through the pandemic, record your training sessions. You don't have to record every one, but maybe record here and there. And they're nice to look back at when you're having a tough training day, to see where you started and see your progress. It kind of helps keep you positive and just keep you focused on kind of where you've been and where you are now. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. Things take baby steps. Things will progress over time. Also, a little cliff note here, dog training is not linear. It is not just constantly up, 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 up. It's going to be more like a roller coaster, where it'll be up and then it'll dip down and then it'll go really high and then dip down really low and then dip up really high. It is not a straight line shooting upwards. It's more like a roller coaster. So don't be surprised if you have bad days. There's going to be bad days, but you know what? Try to end your training sessions on a positive note, and then give it a try the next day. That's all you can do, is end on a positive note and give it a try again the next day. We all have bad days. Dogs too. Sometimes it's just a bad day. All right, Corgi Confident listeners, this has been your Maslow Monday. I hope you all have a great start to your week. And we will talk to you again about more Maslow stuff next week. Have a good one, guys. Corgi Confident is for educational purposes only. Please contact a vet, trainer, groomer, or other pet professional in your area for help. Want more Corgi content? Make sure to follow Maslow the Trick Corgi on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And if you have a question, you can email us at corgiconfidentpodcast@gmail.com. This is the Corgi Queen, signing off.